That was good. Colossians chapter 2. Announcements, we have July 2nd, second Tuesday in July, Ladies Fellowship, and I think that's the only announcement I've got. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 16. So tonight we are going to talk about straining at a gnat swallowing a camel. And you're going to learn how to swallow a camel this evening. So. Colossians chapter 2. I know that phrase doesn't show up in Colossians, but the principle does. And that's what Paul's getting at when he says what he's about to say here. There's all kinds of peripheral things that try to take the place of Jesus Christ, and that's kind of where this is going. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day," or I could just read it holiday, that's where you get that, "in respect of a holiday, or the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ," and we'll stop there. Let's pray, and we'll talk about some of these things that Paul's talking about here, warning about. Father, I thank you for these words. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for life, eternal life, and the resurrection. Lord, we look forward to being with you and having you rule this earth. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, but really I pray that you'd feed your flock. Help us understand these verses the way we need to understand them, to make application the way we need to make application to them. And I thank you for everybody that's here. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's read these couple verses one more time, and then I'll take you to a couple cross references and try to give you some insight on this. Colossians 2:16 says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or holiday or the new moon or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." All right. The point in the whole chapter, and really from even the beginning of the letter here, Paul writes to the Colossians, is that Jesus Christ is preeminent. He is the head of everything. He is over all things. God the Father has made him over all things. And it doesn't necessarily mean he's running all things right now. That's future. But as far as things are concerned, people are concerned, Jesus Christ is the most important person in the entire universe, or outside, inside, outside of it. He is preeminent. That means he's the top of the hill. And there are all kinds of other things that try to take the place or climb that hill, you know, king of the hill type thing, that try to get up there and replace or minimize Jesus Christ and make themselves more important. And so earlier in the chapter, he talked about wisdom and philosophy, or particularly philosophy. Beware of philosophy, and the way it works, it replaces Jesus Christ. And now he's going to deal with. Starting to deal with some religious things that people will put in place of Jesus Christ. And the easiest way to paraphrase what Paul's talking about, we've got a couple phrases for this. Have you ever heard of, and I know you have, that's a dumb question. You can't see the forest for the trees, or you know, you're avoiding the elephant in the room. It's like there's a real obvious thing that you're missing because you're focused on these kind of peripheral things, or things that really aren't as weighty as the bigger issue. And so when Paul tells the Colossians this, these are some things that are going to try to usurp the authority of Jesus Christ and make themselves preeminent in the minds of people, and at the expense of the real matters or weightier matters. So let me show you a cross reference here, and then I'm gonna ask y'all to explain it. We're gonna have some participation here. This may be dangerous, but y'all can raise your hand so I'll call on you. And then Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. So we're gonna read a couple of these verses, and I'm gonna ask you what these mean. And y'all can, so when we read them, think about them. And then you can raise your hand and tell me in your own words what this means. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. So this is going to be the principle that Paul is dealing with in Colossians. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 says, Jesus Christ is talking. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain in a gnat and swallow a camel." All right, now just raise your hand if you think you understand what that means, and I'll tell you. All right, Josh, go ahead. There you go. All right, that's good. That's good. All right, anyone else want to take a stab at it? That's the idea from both of you guys got it right. The idea is that the weightier things, or the things that have more more power, that have more things that really matter, are being set aside for things that don't really matter. Or I couldn't say they don't really matter, they just don't matter as much as these bigger things. So he tells the Pharisees, look, you tithe all these herbs and this mint and anise and cumin. You know, you take your spices out of the spice rack and you get a little bit and you make sure, you know, your tithe goes to the temple and all that stuff. And then you forget about righteousness and mercy. And so it's kind of like, look, you should give, but if you're going to give and forget about loving other people, and you're going to forget about loving God, and you're going to forget about mercy, and you're going to forget about righteousness and good judgment, then these other things are they don't take the place of that. So that's the principle. That's exactly right. Y'all, congratulations. And I need to get some candy in here so we can start really, you know, making this interesting. Just bam. Oh yeah, just there you go. There you go. Yeah. Y'all get attaboys. Josh, attaboy. Beth, attaboy. All right, attagirl. All right, so back over here in Colossians. You don't have to turn back there because I'm going to take you somewhere else first. But Paul says, look, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink. The point is, the kingdom of God is not meat, it's not food, it's not diet, it's not holidays. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, yeah, if the diet matters, if you got some health problems or something, the diet matters, okay, that's That can be important, but that's not the kingdom of God. So let me show you a couple of places that are good cross references to this principle that play out, you know, because there's ditches on either side of this. And when Paul says, "Let no man therefore judge you," when I read something like that, I think of kind of our culture and the way someone would take that. You know, don't let people judge you. Don't let them do that. And it brings about, you know, you're this perpetual victim of everything. And don't let people judge you. That's not it either. But the other side of it is these Pharisees showing up and saying, "You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this." And they're describing things that aren't a part of the kingdom of God anyway. There may be a part of a person's personal walk with the Lord, but they're not a part of the kingdom of God. So let's look at a couple of cross-references that illustrate this whole principle. Look over in John chapter 7 and verse 14. John chapter 7. And these cross-references we're going to look at, there's several verses because it's a whole account of what's going on. And if I just pick one verse out of it, I want you to understand the whole account of this. All right, so John chapter 7, verse 14. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?' Jesus answered them and said, 'My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him.'" Just a note there. I don't want to derail too much, but just a note there. Notice that unrighteousness is connected with people seeking their own glory. All right, that's what the Pharisees were all about. It was a show. It was just a public show, and that's connected with unrighteousness. All right, verse 19. "Did not Moses give you the law?" Now watch what Jesus Christ says. "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law?" none of you keep it. "Why are you after me?" So that's what he says. "Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? How dare you ask us a question like that," when they're all trying to kill him. Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man." So circumcision came with Abraham, remember? That was before the law. But all these guys said, you have to get circumcised according to the law. Well, circumcision wasn't the law, it was before the law. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Y'all are making these things something they're not. Verse 23, but now he says this, "If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" So he heals a man on the Sabbath day and they get mad. "Judge," now here's the point, "judge not according to the appearance, but judge," what kind of judgment? Righteous judgment. So these guys were mad that Jesus Christ healed someone on the Sabbath. And so they're going to use that against him. And so he turns it around on them and he says, "Look, you guys try to keep the law on the Sabbath day. You perform circumcisions on the Sabbath day in order to make sure people are in line with the established law on the Sabbath day. Why are you going to go after me for making a man whole on the Sabbath day?" Meaning, you nitpick this little thing and forget the weightier matter of the law, which is make a man whole. That if this man has been his sins have been forgiven, or he's been healed, or whatever the case is, that's good. That's not to be chastised, or there's no law against that. So he kind of throws it back at him and says, "Look, judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment." That's as far as we need to read. The point is, it's the same principle at work. You got these religious folks that seek their own glory through what laws they follow. And then now they're trying to really, really pin Jesus Christ in with the law, when in reality they don't even keep the law, and they're forgetting the basic, most fundamental things about God and His relationship to man, like mercy, righteousness, love, and all these things, so that they do exactly what He said in Matthew. He says, look, you strain into that and you swallow this camel. You got all this peripheral stuff that really, it in the end, it does not take the place of the real matters at hand. Let me show it to you again. Look in Romans 14. Now here's a Paul's description. Romans 14. So just keep that in mind. The kingdom of God, when Paul says what he says in Colossians about the diets and the holidays and things like that, the kingdom of God is not any of those things. But there are some principles about all that. Romans chapter 14. Verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Now, I don't know if that's weak in the faith. It looks like it's just physically weak. I mean, if you're physically weak, you'll have some dietary restrictions generally that, you know, you got to abide by. And sometimes people who have dietary restrictions think those dietary restrictions should be for everyone, and they're not necessarily for everyone. Look in verse 3. Here's the principle. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now, that's dietary stuff. Now look at how he deals with holidays. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm going to stop there. I imagine you, several of you, have probably gone through a judgment seat of Christ study and used this verse or heard this verse, but you probably didn't recognize that it came in this context of just eating and diet and holidays and things like that. The point is, you be fully persuaded, you be fully persuaded. These issues aren't issues that should break people or brothers and sisters in Christ apart. These aren't the hills to die on, put it that way. This is not where you plant your stake there. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us, now he's going to flip the whole thing around and put it on you and me to defer to someone else. Watch. So then every one of us, verse 12, shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. There you go. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. There's nothing. Here's a verse. This is pretty interesting. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. There is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother, now here's the principle at work. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. So if you know someone has a problem with it, or you know this is an area where a brother or sister stumbles, or they got, you know, it's a weak point in their Christian life. Don't make it an issue and put it in front of them so that they're going to fall over it. Let's keep going. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Now here's the verse that goes back to Colossians 2. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not any of those things. It's not food. It's spiritual. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There you go. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now, let's apply it. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. So Paul says in Colossians, don't let anyone bring you under unnecessary bondage, and also don't put anyone else under unnecessary bondage. The point is, live peaceably as best you can, edify each other, love each other. Verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So that's the point. If it's not building a brother or sister up, if it's not helping them grow closer to the Lord, helping them, edifying or encouraging them to do good, don't throw it out there and make them fall down on it. Verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now that's personal. That's a personal thing. That's not about someone projecting that on somebody else. So here's the one side of the ditch, where we read all of Romans 14 now, but the one side of the ditch is here's a weaker brother, sister, or whatever, and you may have some liberties that they don't have, and so you use that against them, or you put them in a position where they're going to defile their own conscience. And Paul says, don't do that. What's your purpose? You're part of the body. You're supposed to edify and hold up. All right, so that's one side of it. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because there's another side of this. There's some more to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. And I guess this is sort of along the same lines. The same principles in Romans 14, maybe it's just stated a different way. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own. That's the point. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. So don't make an issue out of this diet if it's being sold somewhere. Don't make an issue out of this diet when there's no issue to be made. So he says, if it's sold in the shambles, grocery store, whatever, you go to the Chinese restaurant place or whatever, and they're whatever they're doing with the food or preparing, however all that stuff is, if it's, you know, being sacrificed to idols in the back, whatever, who cares? Go eat it and don't ask questions about it to make it a religious issue, unless they make it a religious issue. Now, if they make it a religious issue, then that's a different story, and let's keep reading. Verse 25, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. So don't make it a religious issue. But now watch the other side of that. But, verse 28, if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All right, so you got two sides of this. Number one, on this side, don't make an issue if there's no issue to be made. On the other side, if they make an issue of it and say, oh, by the way, this is our offering to Baal. Okay, well, now it's an issue because I don't worship Baal. So if I participate in this, you're going to think offering things to Baal is okay, and now you've made it so that I can't participate, or I'm not going to participate, so as I don't sear your conscience in that thinking and make you think this is okay to do. Well, on this side, don't make an issue out of it if there's no issue to be made. On the other side, if someone else makes an issue out of it, okay, well, then now you have to address the issue. Now, they've brought up that, hey, by the way, what we're doing is a religious practice, and we'd be glad for you to participate in this religious practice. Okay, well, now I can't participate in this because I don't serve that God. So let's see what he says. Verse 28, but if any man say unto you, oh, by the way, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? So here's verse 31. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. There you go. All right, so real simple. Paul says in Colossians, let no man judge you meat, drink, holidays, things like that. Okay, that's unnecessary bondage that really doesn't have anything to do with the kingdom of God. That's one side of it. The other side of it is, if someone's going to make it a religious issue, okay, well, now you have to deal with it that way. If someone's going to say, oh, by the way, we're going to, I don't know, we're going to go, okay, there you go. It's like Ash Wednesday. Hey, come over and put these ashes on your forehead with us. Okay, I don't do that because I don't serve that God. That's now, if I did that, that would be telling you this is a good practice. We're okay with this, and this is where we probably all fall short. Is we are. Probably pretty good at searing other people's conscience by accommodating their beliefs where they're at. And we don't make enough of a stand. I understand in Colossians he's saying, don't let anyone judge you in that stuff. That's one side of it. The other side of it is when people make a religious thing out of it, now you've got to make a stand or else you're just justifying their God. That's what Paul says. Look, if you find it in the grocery store, you find it in the shambles, he says, just eat it and don't ask about it. But if you sit down and the guy says, by the way, you know, this is our sacrifice to Baal and we're happy that you're participating in it. Okay, I can't participate in that. That's justifying this idol that is not a god at all. That's why he keeps saying God is the God of all things. I mean, he's the one God. So, verse 32, let's keep reading here. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's the idea. It's not for I don't live my own life and just try to feel comfortable in my own life. The point is, Paul is trying to make sure people they can get saved. They're not being moved away from the Almighty God, from Jesus Christ. And so, if it's a practice that justifies an idol, I can't do that. But if it's not a practice that justifies an idol, look, I take it or leave it. It doesn't make any difference. It's not a religious. It's not a righteousness issue. The same could be said. For holidays. He says holidays there. If it's good to use this holiday to glorify God, okay. But if you're going to put another God in place of Jesus Christ and glorify that God, then okay, I can't participate with you. I'll give you an example. This is not not something we celebrate around here or anything like that, but just a really far off example. But I think you get the idea. If there was a pride parade, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a pride parade, and they started asking pastors to participate or church members to participate, and you said, you know, I want to be loving to everyone. I want to know we support them. You know, by you supporting that, you justify in their minds what's going on. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for justification. And so you know that you as a Christian who are supposed to represent God Almighty, if you participate, the only purpose this serves is to glorify sin. So this is not really a holiday that has any value to God. In fact, it's something that is opposed to God. So this is one example that, I don't know, it's maybe an extreme example, but it's just to prove the point. If you participate in things that are clearly anti-God, the world says, see, it's okay. You keep saying it's okay, and you say you worship the God of the Bible. That's one side of it. The other side of it is these holidays that Paul says, you know, don't judge in meat or drink or holidays and things like that. Look, if you can serve God doing it, serve God doing it. If you can't serve God doing it, don't serve God doing it. But the point is, don't make it a stumbling block for someone else. Don't sear their conscience with it. And if you, by your participation, you justify idolatry, then you can't do it. Because you don't live to yourself. This isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's about other people. So that's the idea there, the principles at work. I'll give you one more cross-reference. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Since he mentions food and holidays. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. You may have never thought, and I have never thought, that dietary restrictions could be a doctrine of devils. But that's what Paul just said. He said there's going to be some that are going to show up and they're going to say, hey, you shouldn't be eating meat on Friday. Paul says, that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. You eating meat on Friday has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Some may say, hey, you shouldn't eat pork. Bacon? I don't like bacon. You know, pork has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with it. And so, when Paul says what he says here in 1 Timothy, our natural tendency is to find something that is peripheral and make it as important as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the most important person, important in everything. He is preeminent. But our tendency is, that's why he says, these spirits that show up that have these sort of dietary, marriage, celibacy type sort of laws and regulations that really have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. These things are very seductive. I mean, it's amazing. I say seductive. If you think about a seductive spirit, I mean, it's appealing in all kinds of ways. It may say the right things to you. It may look the right way to you. And it's the spirit that approaches you, and it has the right look to it, and it sounds the right way. And you say, you know what? That sounds right. I shouldn't be eating meat on Friday. No. You can eat meat on Friday. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with righteousness. It has nothing to do with peace. It has nothing to do with loving one another. It has nothing to do with that. But here's our nature, and our human nature is, we want to find some peripheral thing to replace the righteousness of Christ that we can do to say, you know what? I do this. I do this. Look at how I do this. So, you know, I go back to Ash Wednesday. So what are you going to give up for Lent? Well, I'm going to give up, I'm going to give up watching Netflix on Friday. I don't know what people give up. Do you understand? This little form of righteousness that people hold on to and say, yeah, I did this. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God, has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. In fact, what it does is it takes Jesus Christ and brings him all the way down to the ground and takes this little ordinance that you've created and says, look at this. I did this. It has nothing to do with peace or love or joy in the Holy Ghost. So that's why Paul says what he says in Colossians. He says, look, these matters can be individual matters. But these, your dietary constrictions, your holiday celebrations, unless it's just overtly demonic or devilish, it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Look, if you can eat this and be thankful for it, eat it and be thankful for it. If you can celebrate this day and be thankful to Jesus Christ, okay, use it as an opportunity to glorify God. But if you're going to eat this and it's going to be a stumbling block to someone else or going to be a stumbling block to you, stay away from it. But that's for you. If you don't want to celebrate this holiday because it's going to be a stumbling block to you, don't do it. But those things are not the kingdom of God. So Paul says this, lastly, he says in Colossians at the end of this, he says, look, these things, these matters, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holiday or the new moon or the Sabbath days. And he's probably specifically talking about some Jewish Sabbath days, Jewish holidays and things like that. But then he says, verse 17, and the way you know that is verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come. Hebrews 10:1 says the law is a shadow of good things to come. But the body, here's the point, the body is of Christ. Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the mind and heart of God the Father. He's the most important person in all of creation. He is at the top. And any time you take something and try to put it above Jesus Christ and bring Jesus Christ lower, that's you've missed the point. These other peripheral matters, they you know, take it or leave it. But diets, that's not the kingdom of God. And I'll just you know how tempting, our culture is become fascinated with it. There's religions that are more fascinated with diet and things like that. They got literal restrictions, but now the culture, there's so many diets out there, and it's like, you know, you got to do this one, you got to eat these certain things. Oh man, if you're not doing this, they're not living right. Look, those things, they're just not the kingdom of God. They may help you personally, they may help your health. Maybe it's something you need to participate in to help your body. But let's not strain at these gnats and swallow this camel like Jesus Christ says to the Pharisees. Look, you guys set up all these other things that replace Jesus Christ for righteousness. You miss the whole point. You got all these other peripheral rules, which, okay, I mean, you should give. Tithe, mint, and anise, and cumin, you should give. But look, if you're going to give and be a jerk to people, you know, just if you're gonna take your herbs out of the spice rack so you can show everybody, and then you're gonna be a you know what to everybody. Look, just that's not that you're missing the point. You're missing the point. So the kingdom of God, like he says in Romans, it's not meat or drink. It's righteousness. It's peace. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. It's spiritual things. And some of these other things, they're individual matters. And so when you make them more than that, you've elevated them to something that's just not, that's not what it is. It's just not that. So that's what Paul says. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holiday or new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. There you go. He's all in all. He's everything. Let's pray. We'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. We've covered a lot of verses tonight, but I think we need some context to some of this stuff. There's ditches on both sides of this, but I pray that you would help us apply it where it needs to be applied. Ultimately, it comes down to loving God and loving brothers and sisters and seeking peace and seeking righteousness, seeking joy, those things, seeking to edify one another. And we do that, then that's the right track. That's where we're supposed to be going. Pray you'd help us. Thank you for these words. Thank you for everybody's here this evening. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.